everybody, Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, a full hour of comedy that airs every Sunday night at this time. And we're back with a bit more representative program, more along the lines of what we usually do, although I do hope that you liked last week's program with the cast of Tony and Tina's Wedding. It was a lot of fun to do it, and I hope it was as much fun to listen to. While we're on the topic of that, I forgot to thank Jerry Summers, who acted as technical director and even did some editing on the show, and his expertise and good humor were an asset to the entire production, as they usually are. Anyhow, today we're going to be listening to the great comedy duos, the two-man, or actually two-person comedy team, which used to be much more of a tradition than it is now. In fact, just to take as an example, over the three comic relief shows, or at least the three records that were taken from the comic relief shows, there were no comedy duos in them. Just Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, and their sort of a throwback to an older time. There's really nobody currently working. I mean, maybe Penn and Teller, but they're much more magic than comedy. However, there are a couple that are still working in England that are very good, and we'll be listening to that towards the end of the program. But we're going to start off with some of the earliest stuff that I can find. I'm going to try to squeeze as many people as I can in, with the possible exception of the Smothers Brothers, because I think I left the record at home and don't have it with me. But we'll be getting to a lot of people over the course of this program, and I hope we get to your favorites. And I'm not going to tell you who they are before. We'll let you see if you can guess who's next. But we're going to start off with a comedy team from vaudeville known as Smith and Dale with a very famous piece.
How do you do, sir? How do you do?
This is the office of Dr. Cronkite, no?
Yes, I'm his nurse.
His nurse? Your doctor sick, too?
Here, take a chair.
Thank you. I take it on my way out. I don't feel good.
Oh.
I don't know.
Don't hurt me, doctor.
Oh, you butcher.
Now, just one more. Where are you going?
I'm going home. I forgot something.
Oh, no, come back.
I forgot something.
What did you forget?
I forgot to stay home.
Oh.
You don't hang in the cow in there or what?
Why, that's only a little boy.
A little boy.
Here comes the doctor now.
Thank you. How do you do, sir? Are you a doctor?
I'm a doctor.
I'm dubious.
I'm glad to know you, Mr. Dubious. I'm awful glad to. Sit down, Mr. Dubious.
I'm still dubious.
Hey, Mr. Dubious, are you got any children?
I got three, a boy and a girl.
What do you mean, three, a boy? What's the other one?
You're so young, who can tell?
What should be your complaint?
I don't know. Last week I saw a doctor. He said I had snoo in my blood.
What did they tell you?
He told me I had snoo in my blood.
Snoo? What snoo?
Nothing. What's new with you?
What's the trouble with you?
I don't know. Every time I eat a heavy meal, I don't feel so hungry after. I just got a crick on my neck.
What do you mean, a crick?
I don't know what's the matter. This I can do.
Yeah, yeah.
You see this?
Sure.
Can do it.
Oh.
Look at this, doctor.
What's the matter? Oh, doctor? Did you ever have that before?
Yes, I did.
Well, you got it again.
I got rheumatism on the back of my neck. It's a bad place to have rheumatism on the back of my neck.
No, where would you want a better place than on the back of your neck?
On the back of your neck.
All right, you go to Mount Clemens for your rheumatism.
Is that a good place for rheumatism?
That's the best place to go.
How do you know?
That's where I got mine, you see?
My neck hurts me, doctor. It's terrible.
Oh, well, sit down and open your neck. Thank Mister, you. Please, I got no patience.
I shouldn't have been here either.
Doctor, now ask you, please. Now sit back in the chair. Now look me in the face.
I got my own trouble.
Hey, how do you sleep?
How do I sleep? Yeah. Well, sometime like this.
You see, you don't get me.
I don't want you.
Yeah, here. I mean, at night.
I can't sleep at night. I walk around all night.
Oh, you're a somnambulant.
No, I'm a night watchman.
Oh, I see. Take off the coat.
Yes.
Take off the coat, my boy. Take off the coat. Take off the coat. Take off the coat.
The coat is off. Tomorrow I'll bring you a bubble gum. What are you doing?
I'm sterilizing the instrument. Now don't move, please. Now we got it.
Doctor, take care of yourself. You understand the whole case, doctor?
Yeah, the whole trouble with you is you need eyeglasses. That's the whole time.
I said, well, do I had a headache? I would need an umbrella or something.
No, put on the coat.
Yes.
Put on the coat, my boy. Put on the coat.
Thank you for the concert, doctor. Now, how much do I owe you?
You owe me $10,
Steve. For what?
For my advice.
$10 for your advice.
That's right.
Well, doctor, here is $2. Take it. That's my advice.
Why, you chisel, you cheapskate, you coming here, you cockamamie.
One more word from you, you'll only get $1.
Why?
That's the word. Here's $1.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Oliver Hardy speaking. I'm taking this opportunity of thanking you and the countless friends in the British Isles for the wonderfully wholehearted reception you have given me on my first visit to your beautiful country. Words cannot describe my feelings upon... Never before have I been received... Never before have I been... Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. I think my friend Mr. Laurel wishes to speak to me. What's on your mind?
What about mentioning me in the speech?
Don't worry, I'll get to you in just a few minutes.
In a few minutes?
Certainly.
Well, the record will be over in a few minutes, then you won't be able
Listen,
to...
Listen, why don't you do something to help me?
Well, what can I do?
Here's a hard-boiled egg. Eat that and just relax.
Thank you, Ollie.
Now, let's see where I was. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this is Oliver Hardy speaking. I'm taking this opportunity of thanking you and the countless friends in the British Isles for the wonderfully wholehearted reception you have given me on my first visit to your beautiful country.
Ollie.
What?
Speak up.
What for?
I can't hear you.
Well, if you'll get that egg down, you'll be able to hear me much better.
I just did get the egg down.
What'd you do with the eggshell?
What eggshell?
Don't tell me you've eaten the egg with the shell on it.
Well, I didn't know. You didn't tell me anything about it. You don't happen to have another one, do you?
No, I haven't.
Have you got any nuts?
No, I haven't got any nuts.
Well, what'd you do with those we brought in New York?
Oh, I left them in my wardrobe trunk.
Where is your trunk? Maybe we could go get them.
Oh, that reminds me. Where is my trunk? I haven't seen it for several days.
Have you felt in all your pockets?
Now, that's a good idea. I'll take a look. What do you mean, have I felt in all my pockets? Will you please stop annoying me while I make this speech?
No, I'm not annoying you. I'm not doing
now,
anything.
Now, keep quiet.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Stop wiggling your tie.
What do you mean, stop wiggling my tie?
Well, every time you get fancy, you start wiggling your tie, and it looks silly.
If you interrupt me again, I'll wiggle you. What are you crying for?
I don't want to be wiggled.
Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. I wish to speak to my friend privately. What are you trying to do? Spoil my speech?
No, that's impossible.
You bet your life it's impossible.
That's the first time you've agreed with me, Ollie.
Oh, you're getting sarcastic, huh?
No, I'm not.
Well, just for that, you make a speech.
I don't want to make a speech.
Oh, yes, you will make a speech.
I don't know anything about it.
Go ahead.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
With your hat off.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Pardon. Ladies and gentlemen, with your hat off.
Oh, you don't say that.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, without your hat off.
Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, you'll never know how happy we are to be here with you tonight in Chicago, America.
Oh.
It's the first...
We're in London, you fool. London.
Well, I didn't know. I've been traveling to so many places, I wasn't quite sure just where we were.
Well, go ahead. It won't make any difference anyway.
So this is London, eh?
Yes, London.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm
you
so...
You said that once.
All right. I'm so happy to be here with you tonight in London, Scotland.
No, I love... That's done it. No more speeches.
What do you mean, no more speeches? We've got to do something.
All right. Maybe I can sing a little song.
That's a good idea. Oh, say, that reminds me.
What?
I wish I brought my piano with me from America.
You don't have to bring a piano all the way from America. There's plenty here.
I know, but I wish I'd brought mine.
Now, why in your wildest dreams do you wish you'd brought your piano with you?
Well, you won't be mad at me if I tell you, will you?
Oh, no. You know I couldn't really get mad with you.
No, I'd rather not tell you.
Come on now. Why do you wish that you'd brought your piano with you?
Well, I left our return tickets lying on top of it and
Will you shut up? You've done enough damage.
What damage?
You left our tickets behind in America. Now we've got to swim back.
How far is it?
Oh, it's only 3,000 miles.
Well, that's not bad. It's only 1,500 miles each. Goodbye.
Look, you got a letter from your sister, Bessie.
Oh, Bessie.
What does she say? What does she say? Anything?
She's just wonderful herself. But her son, Willie.
Willie? Willie, that's the one with the high blood pressure.
Yeah,
that's... The one who sleeps on the floor to keep his blood pressure down.
Yeah, that's...
Smart kid.
Yes.
What about Willie?
Well, he broke his back.
I'm glad to hear that.
Huh?
That's good. Broke his back? How did he do that?
Well, on account of he's left-handed.
He broke his back because he's left-handed.
Yeah. Well, you see, what happened was he had a donut in his right-hand pocket, and when he went to take it out with his left hand...
He broke his back?
Yeah.
Well, you tell Bessie the next time to tell Willie that if he's got a donut in his right-hand pocket, to try to take it out with his right hand.
Yeah. But that's hard to do when you have your pants on backwards.
Had his pants on backwards.
Yes. Well, you see, what happened was he had a suit of clothes with two pairs of pants, and he put one pair on frontwards and one pair on backwards.
So that he could go either way?
That's when the truck hit him.
The truck? What truck?
The truck that didn't have its light slit.
Why didn't the truck have its light slit?
Because he had...
Hold it. Did the guy in the truck have his pants on backwards, or did Willie have his pants on backwards?
Oh, George, you're trying to confuse me.
I'm confusing you?
Willie had his pants on backwards.
Oh, but the fellow in the truck, why didn't he have his light slit?
He didn't have to. It was daytime. Am I getting it
well, now? Well, no. That's how the fellow. But if he had his pants on backwards, I mean, the fellow in the truck, if he had his light slit, didn't he see Willie coming?
He didn't know it was Willie. He saw two pairs of pants coming toward him, and he drove between them.
Goodbye.
Hey, Abbott, I just wrote a joke. I'll tell it, if I may.
Now, that's a silly thing to say. There's no new jokes today.
Whether jokes are old or new, just telling them is lots of fun. You dig up some old pun and say, have you heard this one?
Hey, Costello, no smoking.
Hey, Abbott, who's smoking?
You are.
What makes you think I'm smoking?
Hey, you've got a cigar in your mouth.
I got my shoes on, but I ain't walking.
Laugh, laugh, laugh. There's lots to be thankful for. Laugh, laugh, laugh. Things have been worse before. If you're double-crossed by the friend you pick, pushed around and above and beaten and kicked, they may have you down, but you'll never be linked if you laugh, laugh, laugh.
Hey, Abbott, how about those girls we had out last night?
Now, don't get personal, Costello.
You got no kick coming, Abbott. You had the best-looking one.
What do you mean?
Yours had teeth.
Well, yours had teeth, too.
I'll say she did. Mine had so much bridge work, every time I kissed her, I had to pay toll.
Laugh, laugh, laugh. There's lots to be thankful for. Laugh, laugh, laugh. Things have been worse before.
If your wife runs away with your pal, don't cry, or carry a torch and long to die.
You should feel sorry for the other girl.
If you laugh, laugh, laugh.
Hey, Abbott.
What, Costello?
Where do all the little bugs go in the wintertime?
Search me.
No, thanks. I just wanted to find out.
Laugh, laugh, laugh. There's lots to be thankful for. Laugh, laugh, laugh. Things have been worse before.
If your income tax statement's made out with good cheer and you pay what you owe with a conscience that's clear,
all you need is to borrow to live on next year.
If you laugh, laugh, laugh.
Hey, Costello, I'm going fishing, and I'm some fisherman.
Hey, Abbott, what makes you think you're a fisherman?
Well, if I come home with a basket of fish, don't that make me a fisherman?
Well, if I come home with a quart of milk, does that make me a cow?
Laugh, laugh, laugh. There's lots to be thankful for. Laugh, laugh, laugh. Things have been worse before. If you're double-crossed by the friends you pick, pushed around and about and beaten and kicked, they may have you down, but you'll never be licked if you laugh, laugh, laugh.
Say, Costello.
What, Abbott?
Have you any children?
Oh, I got 4 little children.
4?
Eeny, meeny, miny, and Wilbur.
Wilbur? Why Wilbur?
We didn't want any more.
Laugh, laugh, laugh. There's lots to be thankful for. Laugh, laugh, laugh. Things have been worse before.
If a blessed event is almost near, and you wait for the day with annoying fear,
and the priority board says wait till next year,
just laugh, laugh, laugh.
Come on, Costello, you're terribly slow with your jokes.
Oh, what's so fast about you?
Well, I come from the fastest town in the world.
Where's that?
New York City.
What's so fast about New York City?
Would you believe it? One day, on my way to work, I saw a gang of workmen laying a foundation for a 50-story building. And that very same evening, on my way home to dinner, that building was up and completed. That's fast.
You call that fast?
Mm-hmm.
I come from the fastest town in the world.
Where's that?
Paterson, New Jersey.
Oh.
Look, Abbott. One morning, on my way to school, I saw a gang of workmen laying a foundation for a 100-story building.
100 stories?
And that same afternoon, on my way home to dinner...
Now, wait a minute. Don't tell me that building was up and completed.
Up and completed? They was putting the people out for not paying the rent. Get this kid tittering and tottering.
What happened to her?
She's getting hysterical. I got a laugh with her.
Tell her another one, Costello.
Okay. Hey, lady, I'm going to tell you a short one. Once upon a time, there was 2 Irishmen. Now look how many there are.
Where is this, her husband?
Where did he come from?
What started all this? What's the matter with
you? Rise like a little baby. That's fine. I'm going to tell you another one. Once upon a time... They didn't even let me finish yet.
And now, friends, we present the program that reenacts historical events as though they were happening today. Bob and Ray was there. We take you now to Promontory Point, Utah, and ace correspondent Chet Sturdley.
This is Chet Sturdley at Promontory Point, Utah. For weeks, the track laying crews from the west and the track laying crews from the east have been laying track. And they're now only 1 mile apart. When they meet here at Promontory Point, the tracks will be joined by a golden spike. And while we're waiting for the crews to meet, let's switch to ace correspondent Chet Ormsby.
Now, this is ace correspondent Chet Ormsby. I'm stationed near the point where the tracks will be joined in the Iron Horse Bar and Grill. Beside me is Mr. Patrick Hammerhead McGonagall, the man who's been chosen to drive the Golden Spike. Mr. McGonagall, will you tell us how you came to be chosen for the great honor of driving the Golden Spike?
Well, I was working on the track yesterday, and the foreman comes up to me, and he says, "Hey, McGonagall." And I says, "Yeah." And he says, "You doing anything tomorrow?" And I says, "No." And he says, "Okay, you drive the Golden Spike."
Well, thank you, Mr. McGonagall. And now we switch you to Chet Sturdley for a report on the progress of the track-laying crews.
This is Chet Sturdley again at Promontory Point. The track layers are half a mile apart now. They're running neck and neck. And for more details, here's ace correspondent Chet Harper.
Now, this is ace correspondent Chet Harper. I am in a signal tower at Steve Canyon, Nevada. And now back to Chet Sturdley.
Thanks, Chet, for that colorful description. The track layers are coming into the stretch now. Maybe you can hear them in the background. They're approaching the finish line. They're still 2 feet short of the finish line. Not enough track. And while we're waiting for them to send for more track, I'm going to interview some of this great crowd which has gathered to watch the driving of the Golden Spike. Here's an Indian chief coming toward me in full regalia. Chief, will you tell us what you think of the Iron Horse?
Iron Horse, bad medicine.
What would you consider a good medicine?
Milk of magnesia.
Pardon me, friends. This is the big moment we've all been waiting for. Mr. McGonagall, the spike driver, is stepping into position. He's grasping the Golden Spike in his left hand. There goes the hammer. Ow! Well, it's too bad he hit his thumb, but he's trying again. And he did it. The Golden Spike is driven, and here come the trains, one from the east and one from the west. Yes, the trains are speeding to the meeting point at this very moment. They're getting closer. 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 They're about to meet.
Quintuplets, has a maternity ward offered us the phenomena that this maternity ward at UCLA Medical Center offers us today. Not 2 hours ago, a little baby was born that has the power of speech and intelligence. The doctors are not able to tell us how or why. We have our cameras set up here, our tape recorders, and we're going to record the voice and intelligence of this two-hour-old baby. He's lying in his crib. We're going to put a little microphone in there now. We're going to try to contact him. I don't know if he will talk to us, but the nurses tell me he has been talking for the many hours he's been here. 2 hours, exactly. We're going to try. I'd like you to know the microphone is right by his head now. Little baby. Pardon me, little baby? Little baby? May we speak with you, little baby?
Hi, are you my dad? I haven't met my dad yet.
No. Amazing. Just a minute. He does speak. You're fortunate, ladies and gentlemen. He's talking. No, I'm not your dad. You haven't met your mother yet.
No, I haven't met Mom, but I've...
You've been...
I've no Mom, sure.
Yes.
I've been around her.
But you haven't seen her...
No, I haven't seen the outside, no.
I see. Do you hope that she is good-looking?
Oh, no, I don't care what she looks like. I'm not going to date her. I'm her child, you know.
I see, that's right, because it doesn't matter what she looks like, it's what's inside of her.
Oh, I know she's good.
You do know?
I know she's good, because you can tell a person by what they are inside.
That's right.
Yes, and I was there. I was inside. I looked around. She's great.
I see.
Great woman. Wonderful person. Yes.
By the way, you don't have a name yet. It says just Baby Brooks on there.
Yes, it says it's on these little pink feet. Hey, I'm a girl. Hey. What the hell? I'm a little girl.
Well, I don't...
That's adorable.
Just a moment.
I think it's adorable. I'm a girl.
Just a moment. I think what? You don't... Do you see well yet?
No, it's kind of a blur, but it is pink.
No, they're blue.
Oh.
You're a boy.
Oh, well, that's all right. I'll play ball and get drunk and things. I'll be fine.
You don't mind being a boy?
No. Is Bert Lancaster... What is he?
He's a boy.
Oh, that's good. I'll be like him.
Baby, it is most incredible that you're able to speak.
Yes,
it's
phenomenal,
idea,
isn't it?
Yeah. Any idea
it's
why...
It's kind of frightening, yeah.
It is.
Yeah. It's kind of kicky, isn't it?
Yes. But how did you... Why were you given this gift? How did it happen?
Well, it's very strange. I'm not sure myself... one of the doctors says it's like a tooth or
a prenatal tooth.
Yeah, that falls out when you're born.
The first hour of birth.
That's right.
Or prenatal hair on the
show. Exactly that. Oh. And this is a phenomenon of intelligence.
You may lose this intelligence.
I may, as you're talking to me or a week later, but it'll fall out just like a tooth or extra hair.
Yes, well,
sure.
We better find out things about you right now while
Go
we're
ahead.
There has been a lot written about prenatal memory before birth.
Yes.
Do you have any?
Oh, I remember when I was on a little tadpole, a little fetus there swimming around.
Do you remember having a tail?
Sure. Oh, that was the best part.
You liked your tail?
Oh, I loved the tail.
Were you unhappy when it disappeared?
When I lost my tail, I got a nose.
You lose your tail?
And the nose is much more important because you can't blow your tail. You know what I mean?
If you get a cold,
no,
that's right.
That's right. Catch a cold, you can't blow your tail.
Could you hear the outside world? Could you hear your mother talking?
Yes.
It wasn't clear, I imagine.
No, it was very fuzzy.
You were enveloped in water.
Sure, in the water and everything. But I remember the man, probably my father,
yes.
You know, saying, well already, well already. You know, something like that.
Well, may I translate for that for you? He was probably saying, when already? Because
when already,
he was anxious
yes.
for you to be born.
Yeah, sure. That's probably it.
You bullshit. Now, what is it that makes a mother queasy or a little nauseous in the first... 2 or 3 months of her pregnancy.
Well, I don't think it's physical, no.
It's not physical?
No, I think it's psychological. I think the moment they realize that there's a living creature in them, they puke. You know?
But why?
They get kind of scared.
But why?
Well, wouldn't you be nauseous if somebody was running around inside you? I mean,
well,
it's kind of frightening. You know
never
I mean?
Thought of that. Never
sure.
thought of that.
It's a frightening thing.
Do you know what's going on in the outside world? Do you know the celebrities of the day? Do you know the important people in the world today?
Some. I don't know. I'm not sure.
You don't know what you know?
No.
Do you know, for instance, Mickey Mantle?
No.
Queen Elizabeth?
No.
Winston Churchill?
No.
Fidel Castro?
No.
Pandit Nehru?
No.
Have you heard of Cary Grant?
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
You heard of
Grant? Everybody knows Cary Grant.
Well, how did you know him and nobody else?
Well, because my mother used to take me to a lot of Cary Grant pictures when I was inside her. See?
And you could...
It was muffled, but I kind of heard, "Empty banks and baby boy, and even," you know, that was Cary Grant, right?
Right.
Sure.
I see.
She never took me to Ponte Nero movies, so I don't know what he's saying.
I see. Now,
I'm sure he's a hell of an actor.
Now, when you grow up, do you have any ambitions yet? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I'd like to put on a little weight.
Oh, you will.
You will. I don't see how I could, drive a bus or anything. I'm only about 7 pounds.
14, yes.
Sure.
But what else would you like?
Small on the wheel.
You know anything about your mother?
My mother is definitely an intellectual.
How do you know that?
Well, because she reads a lot of big, fat, heavy books.
How do you know that?
Because the books lay on my head. It's on resting on a belly, and they crush my head. I have,
Is that a beauty mark behind you?
No, that's a bookmark. That's one of those big, heavy books.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. Baby, do you miss your umbilical cord?
Well, yeah, you get to kind of miss it, because it's an appendage and it's there.
For 9 months, yes.
But when I grow up, I'm going to get a keychain.
I'd like to know what you feel about your father.
I feel that Dad is the kind of guy that will gaga some.
With what? With what? I didn't get that.
I feel that my father will always be the kind of guy that will take me to ball games and will be buddies and will sign my name. Nifoy.
Will you sign Nifoy? I don't understand you. What do you sign Nifoy? What does that mean?
I think that my father and I will probably get along well together since we're both boys. We'll probably run around and play ball and give high.
I do believe, ladies and gentlemen, he's losing his intelligence. Are you losing your power of speech? You still have your. No, you're not making sense now.
What?
I don't understand you.
Oh,
I don't understand you.
Hey, maybe
can you put yourself together?
Sure.
And hold yourself together.
Yes, I'll hold it together.
What
yes.
do you think
Keep
we
that intelligence
to make the world a better place to live in?
Birds.
What?
Phenylhyde.
What?
Phenylhyde.
What? Do what?
Goy, goy, goy.
What? You're losing. I don't understand.
What?
What?
Oh. What? What?
Hello?
Hello, Arthur. This is your mother. Do you remember me?
Hi. Mom, hi. I was just going to call you. Is that a funny
Arthur,
thing? You know that I had my hand
Arthur,
on the phone
you were
to
supposed
call?
To call yeah. me last Friday.
Mother, darling, I just didn't have a second, and
you
I could
didn't
cut
have
my
a
throat.
Second.
I was so busy.
Arthur, I sat by that phone all day Friday.
It was just work, and
all
darling,
day Friday night.
I kept thinking, I got to call Mom.
And all day dear, Saturday.
Oh, listen, believe
and all
me.
All day Sunday.
I,
and your father said to me, Phyllis, eat something, you'll faint.
Darling.
I said, no, Harry, no. I don't want my mouth to be full when my son called.
Mom.
He never called.
Mother, I was sending up Vanguard. I didn't have a second.
Well, it's always something, isn't it?
Okay, honey.
Arthur, I'm sure that all the other scientists there have mothers, And I'm sure that they all find time after their breakfast or before their count off
down
to pick up a phone and call their mother.
Honey, listen, now you have
me
on the phone.
You know how I worry.
Well, I do. That's the point.
I read in the paper how you keep losing them.
Mother! I don't lose them.
Well, I nearly went out of my mind.
Okay, honey,
I thought, what if they're taking it out of his pay?
All right.
Don't even write me a letter. Right, is that it. So hard?
Okay.
I'm your mother.
All right, mother, look, darling, please,
I'll send
honey,
you
Mom,
the stamp.
Dear,
so
please, don't. Just tell
letter.
Me how you
That's
are,
so
Mom.
Hard.
Tell me how you are. How are you?
I'm sick.
I'm sorry to hear it. I really am. What's wrong?
Nothing. You know what it is, honey.
Yeah.
It's the
yeah.
same thing it's always been.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
It's
yeah.
my nerves.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I went to the doctor, and he told me
yeah.
right out.
Yeah.
He said,
yeah.
Listen, Mrs. White,
yeah. Yeah.
who
yeah.
are you fooling?
Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
are a
yeah.
very nervous,
yeah. Yeah.
very
yeah.
high-strung woman.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, well, God knows that's true, yeah. yeah.
And
yeah.
you cannot stand yeah. the slightest aggravation.
Well, yeah, sure,
well,
yeah.
I said, Doctor,
yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know that, I do. I said, but you see, Doctor, I have this son. He is. It's the truth. The boy is not lying. He is. He's very busy. You see, Doctor, he's too busy to pick up a phone and call his mother.
Honey, listen, Mom.
Well,
dear,
Arthur,
I want you to
when I said
Mom,
that to him, that man turned pale.
Right, dear, Mom.
He said, Mrs. White, Mom. I have been a doctor for 35 years,
right.
And I've never heard of a son too busy to call his mother.
Right, Mom, dear,
That's
listen,
That's just what he said to me, Arthur.
I know, honey,
And that man is a doctor.
Mom, Mother, please, dear. Will you just tell me, what did the doctor say they're going to do with you?
Well, I may be in the hospital for a while, so,
The hospital?
Yes, the hospital.
Well, but what are they going to do?
Well, they'll x-ray my nerves.
Mother, why didn't you let me know? All you had to do
was
drop...
Now, honey, if I thought you were going to aggravate yourself,
well,
I wouldn't have brought it up.
Don't, myself
don't. It's a little tiny... It's nothing. Forget it. How's your hangnail?
All right. Mother,
yes.
Please, just don't worry.
Arthur... What does that mean? Honey, what does that mean, don't worry?
Nothing, actually. I don't know. I just said the first thing that came into my head. It was a
Arthur,
mistake.
Arthur, listen to me. I'm a mother.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, you know. I should have realized,
you know, what's
and I
the
didn't.
Use of talking,
no,
you
mistake.
Know?
No, I'm sorry. No,
no, you're very young.
Well, I...
Someday, Arthur,
Mom.
You'll get married.
Mom?
And you'll have children of your own.
Mom.
And, honey, when you do, I only pray that they make you suffer the way you're making me. That's all I pray, Arthur. That's a mother's prayer.
Okay, Mom, thanks for calling.
You're very sarcastic.
Mother, I'm doing my best. Now, you called me on the telephone. I tried to explain to you.
Don't hit me. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry that I bothered you. And look, I hope I didn't make you feel bad.
Are you kidding? I feel awful.
Oh, honey, if I could believe that, I'd be the happiest mother in the world.
Oh, Mother, it's true. What do you think? I feel crummy.
Arthur, honey... Why don't you call me, sweetheart? Look, you know, Arthur, I know that I nag you, you know. I mean, listen, I'm a nagging mother. What are you going to do? No, I'm kidding. Honey, you know, you're my baby. And Arthur, you're the only baby I've got. And, honey, no matter how old you get, when you get to be 80 years old, you're going to be my baby, you know? And when you don't call me, sweetheart, I can't help it. I worry. So is that so hard to pick up a phone and call your mommy? Please, baby, please.
Yeah, well, I will, I promise.
You say it, and then you really promise.
Will, I promise.
Well, then you make your mommy so happy.
If mommy's happy, then he's happy. Okay, mommy.
And mommy wants to wish you lots of luck with your rocket.
Thank you, mommy.
And remember, Dad, I love you.
I love you too, mommy.
Goodbye, baby.
Goodbye, mommy. Nani, nooni, nani, nooni.
God, what would it take to get them back together again? I'll tell you. I mean, yeah, they make good movies. I even liked Ishtar, but I sure wish they were back together again. That was Mike Nichols and Elaine May. Also, I have heard that some of their best stuff came from Monitor Radio, and the tapes of these are still in existence somewhere. If you have those in your collection, I'd like to hear from you. So anyway, let's start off with what we heard from the beginning. We heard Smith and Dale, whose real names I have here, and I was just about to tell you. Smith and Dale with the Dr. Cronkite piece. Obviously, that piece was used in the movie. Here we go. Joe Seltzer was Smith and Charlie Max was Dale. And their piece, Dr. Cronkite, became a part of the movie The Sunshine Boys by Neil Simon. And then we moved on to Laurel and Hardy, a fairly rare record that was made in England when they were there. George Burns and Gracie Allen, Gracie's relatives. And, you know, I love Burns and Allen, but, you know, when you're talking about comedy from the golden age of radio, you can use Fibber McGee and Molly. We could have used Amos and Andy. I mean, there was a big tradition of the two-man or two-person comedy team in radio as well. Then we move on to Abbott and Costello. I'm fairly proud of myself for coming up with something other than Who's on First to Play for You by Abbott and Costello, and again, a fairly rare record that they made. And then on to Bob and Ray as we get into a later period. Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner, pretty much, they started a trend in comedy records that lasted for a good long while, that of the interviewee and interviewer. Those records were the Bill Dana, Jose Jimenez records, and the Allen and Rossi stuff, and you know, all sorts of things. It seemed as if every comedy record during that brief period was done in that format, which I think we can pretty much credit Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner with the 2,000-year-old man piece. And I think that this piece about the 2-hour-old baby is as good as that stuff, if not better. By the way, did you notice how incredibly heavily that was edited? They used to go to parties and just record these things and improvise them, and then they'd go back and pick out the best bits. So as you listen to their stuff, you hear that there some things were done in different rooms. There's more echo and less echo and different sound of the audience and stuff like that. But it works. And then on to Nichols and May. My name is Bob Claster. The name of the program is Funny Stuff, and we are listening to comedy teams, two-person comedy teams. And this is KCRW Santa Monica, a community service of Santa Monica College at 89.9 FM, National Public Radio for most of Southern California. And now, let's move on to a later comedy team. They didn't stay together very long, but they kept reuniting and breaking up again. Avery Schreiber and Jack Burns. And their most enduring creation is that of the cab driver and the conventioneer.
Cab. Taxi. Cab.
Taxi.
Taxi cab, yeah.
Where to, friend?
Going to Hotel Astor, room 518.
They stopped me on the fourth floor.
Oh, yeah. I got you. That's quite a city you got out there, what you call your New York.
Yeah, that's what we call it.
Yeah. I bet you there are 8 million stories out there. That's probably the crossroad of 1 million private lives. Broken heart for every light bulb in the great white way. And look at them buildings. Them buildings are like, they're like stainless steel fingertips, stretching their way toward the northeast skyline in a never-ending panorama of grace and majesty.
What are you, some kind of poet?
I used to write for the Newman Club newsletter.
Newman Club, is that a B'nai B'rith organization?
You're Jewish, huh?
I'm working with my hat on, figure it out.
We had a Jewish guy who used to work for us up in the home office. Seemed like a nice guy. I was just back there at that place where you picked me up.
Yeah, that's where you got in, right?
Yeah. They call that the Hot Spot Club. That's where all the girls are. They're all in there. I walked in the door. There must have been 10 or 12 of them all over me. Blondes, brunettes, redheads, they were all over me. I didn't go up to them. They came right up to me. You know what I mean? This one girl was really all over me. This blonde girl. Good-looking blonde. Blonde. Good-looking blonde girl.
Blonde girl.
Huh?
Good-looking?
You know her?
She sounds familiar.
Yeah. She was all over the old trooper here. I guess there's a little life left in the old trooper yet, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Huh?
Huh? Yeah, yeah. We're having fun here. See, we're here at a convention. Everyone's here from the home office. The whole gang's here. Hail, hail, the gang. They're all here. I'll tell you who's here. Davy Cronin's here. Tommy Johnson. Eddie Nolan. Patrick O'Brien's here. Jimmy Noonan, Fred Hogan, Bill Hogan, Ed Hogan. The Hogan brothers are here. Let's see, who else, Davy?
I don't know any of these guys, you know.
They're all here.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Hey, you know who you'd like? You know who? Dave Cronin. Dave Cronin is one of the hottest tickets, bar none, that I know. He's not with me now. But Dave's a hot ticket. He is a hot ticket, boy.
You're alone back there, right?
Yeah.
Just checking, you know.
No, Dave's back there where you picked me up at the hot spot. They were all over Dave when I left him there. Dave's a ladies' man. He's what we call your ladies' man. Mm-hmm. I say, Dave, you're a nut. Get out of here, Dave. I say that to him a lot. Get out of here. I don't mean that. You know, I just say that to him. Get out of here, Dave. Dave's a hot... You know what Dave did? You got a minute. Listen to this. Dave brings this... He brings this tie with him to the convention. It shines in the dark.
Yeah, that's funny, huh? That's funny.
All right. That's only half of it. Now, listen. On one side of the tie, it says, Win with Wilkie. See? Mm. You turn it over on the other side, it says, Screw you, buddy. What a Jeez, we had him up there last night in the hotel room for 3 hours in the dark looking at that tie. What a night that was. What a night that was.
This guy sounds like a hot ticket.
Oh, great. Kidding me? You're gonna start telling me how funny Dave Cronin is? Don't start telling me about Dave Cronin. For God's sakes, Dave and I go back for years. You're gonna start telling me about Dave? Don't start telling me about Dave, my friend. Don't ever start with me about Dave Cronin.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
All right. Gonna tell me about Dave.
Well, forget I mentioned
All
it.
All right. Oh, I know. You wonder why he drinks so much. Everyone does. Let me tell you something. Sure, Dave Cronin puts the booze away. Sure he does. So what? Listen, you'd drink too if you had Dave's cross to bear. He's got a son that's an albino. I said, Dave, it could be a blessing in disguise. I said, don't take it too hard, Dave. The good Lord moves in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
But I said, remember, Dave, you can never be too white. I said that to Dave. Of course, now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not prejudicial enough against nobody. I don't care what a man is. What I'm saying, you know what I hate?
I got a good idea.
No. Listen, this country is made up of individuals. But I'll tell you what I hate. I hate these people who make derogatory remarks about someone's ancestry. You've heard it.
You've heard it, sure.
I'm talking about these people. These guys say they make remarks like they say, he's a dago, he's a harp, he's a heeb. I hate that. You know who says that the most?
Who's that?
Your hunkies. We're having fun here. We're having fun here. A lot of the guys brought their wives. Mm. I was going to bring my wife, but we've been separated 12 years.
Good idea not to bring her.
Oh, yeah. You kidding me? She was a saint. She was too good for me. I was a bum. She's a saint. She's a saint. Here, I got a picture of her right here. That's a saint.
Yeah. I never saw one before. Yeah.
Of course not. You're Jewish. You don't have saints. That's a saint.
We got prophets. There's a picture of my wife over there.
Huh?
That's my wife over there.
Oh, she drives too, huh?
Next to my picture's her picture.
Okay.
What's the matter with you?
Well, you know, they say you live together for a while, you start to look alike.
Well, you know, she's got the dress on.
Yeah,
you can't miss it. Yeah, she wants her picture there. You know, she gets jealous.
The women get in the cab.
Women get in the cab.
Don't start telling me about women, for God's sakes. I know all about women. I've been there and back, my friend, and back, and back. I got a kid who's probably your age.
35, right?
Oh, no, you got a young neck. Nice. He's quite a kid. He's a good-looking kid. They're all over him.
Good-looking all over.
Yeah. And smart. Sounds He's got like the smart. Brains in the family. He's got the brains.
Yeah.
He's going to college up near Boston. The Jesuits have got him.
What are they doing to him?
Oh, He's studying. He might go in the priesthood. I don't know. It's up to him. He wants to be a priest. I said, look, Tiger, if you've got the calling, you go ahead. But I said, remember this, kid. I said, if you're going to be a priest, you've got to be a celibate.
Oh, yeah?
Sure, you got to be a celibate to be a priest. It ain't easy being a celibate. Now, I don't know. I was married to a saint. Ah, well. Well, we're really, you reading what's happening in the papers down there in Santo Domingo?
Oh, yeah.
Getting them commies, ain't we?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
You're getting them.
Yeah, yeah. Same as over there in Vietnam. Get them out of Vietnam. Same way. Get them
Vietnam,
out of there.
Vietnam, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Vietnam, over there, yeah. Them commies are everywhere.
A lot of commies.
Oh, them commies are everywhere you look. You kidding me? Everywhere, everywhere these days.
Yeah, there goes one now, you see? I'll try and hit the next one for you.
Oh, yeah, sure. You can joke about it, I suppose. You can joke. It's a real laughing matter, huh, my friend? Well, remember this, my friend. Don't ever tell me I ain't got the right to speak out. I paid for that right, my friend. I'm a veteran. I'm a veteran. I was there. I was there. Where were you?
I was here.
I was there. I was there in them rough years, 45, 46, 47. Communists were overrunning half of Europe there. We were at Fort Dix. We could have gone at any moment. I'll tell you one thing, though. In that uniform, those girls, I'd come out the main gate. They were all over me. On a 72-hour pass, they were all over me. Oh, jeez. Well, listen, the years go by. They forget you're veterans.
Yeah.
Now you go into a bar room, you see a girl, you say, I'm a veteran. You know what they say?
Forget it.
Yeah, that's it. So what, they say. But in them days, it was something else. Oh, listen, I put on a few pounds. I admit it. The years go by. They roll by. They go by.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone. But in them days, they were all over me.
Say, listen, buddy, if you like, I can make a little stop before you go back to your hotel room.
I can wait till I get back to the hotel.
I don't think we're talking about the same thing.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. What, your women, huh?
Yeah, women. Huh? Women. I'm talking about the women.
Not for me, my friend. Pass. El Paso on that. No, I don't go that.
Don't take it as an insult.
Well,
it's my job.
Yeah.
Well, here you are, buddy.
Huh?
We're here.
Oh.
That's $1.45.
Yeah. So, what are you? You drive a cab, huh?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. You're lucky you caught me when I was.
Yeah. Hey, here's something. I got an idea. I don't want to go straight back to hotel. Hey, are you a veteran?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, sir, I'm
are
a veteran.
Huh?
Yeah. But what do you want to see my scars? I'm a veteran.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you was a veteran. I know a veteran when I see one.
Oh yeah.
Huh?
Well, how did you know I was a vet?
Huh?
That's interesting.
I know a veteran. Are you kidding me?
Well, how'd you know I was a vet?
Oh, the way you walk. I don't know. You know. Look, let's do this. You see that bar room over there? What do you say? You park the cab, you let the meter run, I'll pay for that. I'm going to buy you a beer. Come on, huh?
No.
A couple of bets, we get together, raise a little hell.
Thanks.
Come on.
Hey,
come on, what do you say, huh?
Take it easy.
Come on,
let's stay sign there. Don't touch the driver.
Come on.
No, guys,
we'll blow down a few. We're going to raise a little hell.
Gee, I hate to be pushy about it, but
come on. Boy, you people are real clannish, ain't you? I thought we were a couple of veterans. I didn't care.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey. Una momento. Hey, you don't think maybe because I'm a man and I'm a stranger and I'm inviting you to have a beer, you think there's something funny about me?
No.
You think I'm what you call one of them,
I know those guys.
All right, my friend. I've never even seen a ballet, so never come out of here with that. Kidding me. We had a whole bunch of them guys at our last convention.
You had a lot of them there, huh?
Oh, jeez, they were all over me. Oh. Hey, look, I got an idea. Look, let's just go for a drive, huh? I got this funny story I want to tell you that Davy Cronin told me. This'll kill you.
Sure, Mommy.
It's about these two Puerto Rican guys. I got nothing against Puerto Ricans, but you know how they are. Yeah, well, these two guys.
Well, that was Burns and Schreiber with the cab driver and the conventioneer. There's no time for Cook and Moore, and that's unfortunate because they are really one of the great comedy teams of all time. But we hear Peter Cook and Dudley Moore a lot on this program, and that's as it should be because they are truly great. And we heard them a couple weeks ago in the Beyond the Fringe show. So I thought it might be better to listen to two young comedy teams from England, and they're about the only currently working comedy teams I can think of. I don't know that there are any in this country anymore. French and Saunders and Smith and Jones. Both of them have television series in England. Which have aired on A&E and MTV respectively. So let's get started with Mel Smith and Griff Rhys Jones.
I went down to Harley Street yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, down, you know, where the clinics are, isn't
it? Oh, yeah.
I go down there quite often, actually.
Do you?
Yeah, oh, yeah, to the artificial inseminatory. sperm bank, you know. Because they've got the biggest collection of sperms in the country down here.
Well, you go down there and have a look at them, do you?
No, no. I mean, I go to stick some in.
Oh.
I'm a donator.
Oh. Oh. Well, how do you do that then? Well, I mean, how come? No, I mean, how does it come about that you go down there then?
Oh, yeah. Well, like there's a lot of women in the world. Right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And a lot of them for various reasons.
Yeah.
They can't get pregnant.
No.
See? Because their husbands haven't got it in them. See.
What, not at all.
Well, not as much as I have.
No.
And obviously, they need a virile, manly sperm to be stuck in there and do the business like
that. Yeah. Well.
I'm not being too technical for you.
No. But how many of these women are there then?
Hundreds. Hundreds.
Well, you're more virile than I thought you was. When you go down there, right, to the sperm bank thing, do they give you a choice of woman? Then?
Oh, no. I mean, I don't see the woman.
What, so it's like at home, then?
Eh?
Well, it's in the dark with the light out.
No, I mean, she's not actually there. Yeah.
Where is she?
Well, I don't know. Well, that's shopping or something, I don't know. I mean, she's not actually expecting it there and then.
No. It's just like home, isn't it? Oh.
I mean, it's like a bank.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a sperm bank.
Yeah.
See? Like for example, I go down.
Yeah.
And I leave a little deposit.
Yeah.
And then she goes along later.
Yeah.
And she makes a withdrawal.
Right.
You see, just like
yeah,
a bank.
Yeah. Bet there's a bit of a queue there on Friday, isn't it?
Undoubtedly,
yeah. So when you go down there, right, down this sperm thing, what happens then?
Well, I mean, there's no fuss about it, you know. I mean, it's like it's like donating blood.
Yeah.
I mean, one little prick and it's over, you know. I mean.
No contraception?
Yes.
What is it then?
Well, if you're asking me what contraception is, it must mean you're going to do it then. Going to do it. You're going to have it on. You are, you're going to have it off, aren't you? Well, it's a good thing you asked me because I know. The first thing you need for contraception is some towels. And it's a good idea if they're dark-coloured towels because there's going to be a lot of muck and goo on them later on. And you go up to the parents' bedroom, you take off the duvet and you spread the towels all over the bed. And you get on the bed have it off.
How do you know when you're having it off, then?
God, you don't know anything, do you? Well, have you ever seen a man's toilet parts? Well, a man, right, has got three dangly toilet parts. And the... The middle one is the important one. And when the man wants to have it off, the middle one stands up. It gets up and off. It's about that big. And it's a bit like a sort of cactus. And it's got all spikes coming off the top of it. And he calls it his todger. And when the todger's all sticking up, you know it's time to have it off. So you get on the bed and open your legs and wait for the eggs to come, stupid.
What, you mean like a period, then?
No, not like a period. Do you know about the four holes or
no,
not?
Not.
Right, you've got four holes, right? Two in your back bottom, two in your front bottom. The two in your back bottom, one's for pooing, one's for weeing. The two in your front bottom, one is for the periods and the other one is for the eggs. Now, the egg starts to come down the front hole. It's about that big, usually. It's coming down the front hole and it's trying to get out, but it can't because there's a bit of skin, a bit like a sort of trampoline at the bottom that's called your hymen. And it keeps bouncing back up and it can't get out. So the man, by now, the todger's about this big. And there's a big sort of metal spike coming out the end of it. And he gets on top of you and puts the todger inside and tries to break the hymen and bashing into the hymen. Eventually it breaks and a lot of green slime comes out. True. And that's when you know that you're having an organism. And then the egg drops out, you see. And you just wrap the egg in the towels, put it in the toilet. Yeah. You'll never believe what happens next.
What?
I didn't believe it myself
what?
When I saw it.
What?
Right, the man stands up. Now the todger is this big. This big. And he says, oh, God, and his eyes are going like that. And the top of the todger opens up like that. And 5,000 trillion fish come jumping out the top of it. They come jumping out like that. And they go off the ceiling, off the wall, all over the floor, everywhere. And you've got to scrape them all up into a towel and put it in the toilet. Because, you see, if you let the fish get near the egg, that's how you get pregnant, you see.
Well, the fish just die then, do they? Just...
Well, most of them die, but if there's any left on the floor sort of flapping around all over the place, you just grab their tails and get a mallet or a book or something, and bash them, bash them, bash them on their heads like that. Scrape them up in a towel and put them in the toilet. Then you have to smoke.
It must be terrible, that.
Very pleasurable experience.
Well, this has been a very pleasurable experience for me. That was Dawn French and Jennifer Saunders, and before that we heard Smith and Jones. I wish I could. Wish there was time to tell you more about those people because they're sort of interesting. But if you see their shows, French and Saunders or Smith and Jones, in the television guide, you should try to catch them. Harry Connick Jr. is going to bring his unique brand of piano stylings and jazz vocals to the Wiltern Theater on the 17th of November at 8 p.m., we've got some tickets for you, and if you are a KCRW subscriber and have not received tickets from KCRW during 1989 and wish to attend Harry Connick Jr. at the Wiltern Theater, 17th of November at 8 p.m., call us now at 213-450-3524. These tickets are available to our subscribers on a first-come, first-served basis. Next week on this program, we'll be listening to highlights from past interviews with John Cleese, so I hope you can join me. Until then, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.